Today's reading is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 13. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Second reading is from Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually come and attack me.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" That's the word of the Lord.
Good afternoon, everyone. No, it's not quite afternoon, it's getting that way. Our gracious Father, we thank you that we can come together like this. We ask now that you will open our minds, open our hearts and open our eyes, that we may hear and understand the wonderful truths in your written word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Ten years ago, when I was here, yes, I've been coming here for over 10 years now, when I did here, we had a session, a series on parables, Jesus' parables. And I thought I would do the same again over these next few weeks when I'm going to be with you. Now, Jesus didn't invent parables as such. It was a common method of teaching in the Middle East. And I understand it still is. The teacher would tell the parable and the listeners would be left to work it out for themselves. But what exactly is a parable? An easy definition: an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. But recently I read a fuller description of it. The parable begins as a picture that takes our attention and moves our imagination. But then it becomes a mirror in which we can see ourselves. We are the prodigal son or the lost sheep that has strayed. And then it becomes a window through which we see God. He is the prodigal son's father, the shepherd finding the sheep. So having seen ourselves in the story and God in the story, it's up to us to do something about it. And do that. And that's what the stories are about. What are our stories about this morning? They're about prayer. Prayer. Funny thing, not funny, ha-ha, peculiar. Prayer, strange. You know, anthropologists, the gremlins, anthropologists who study the human race tell us that every civilization, if you like, every people have always had gods. And they have always prayed to them, worshipped them, made offerings to them, sacrifices to them from all time. So praying is not something that the ancient Hebrews, the Israelites, made up. It had been going on since time immemorial. And I would suggest that most, if not all people, pray at some time. A person gets into a bit of a pickle, doesn't know what to do. What does he do? He shouts out, God help me, God help me. Now he doesn't know God, but he is praying. And God, because of his love and compassion, often hears a cry like that and does help him. So why do Christians pray? The Bible teaches us that God knows what we're going to ask before we've even thought about it. And if he knows what we're going to ask, then he knows what he's going to reply. So why bother to pray? Simple. Because Jesus said to. Remember that second reading, it said, he told them parables so that they should always pray and not give up. No. Jesus himself prayed in every situation. He was always at prayer, even on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yes, Jesus prayed all the time. And so his example urges us to do likewise. And the two parables that we've just heard read this morning will press home the need for prayer, and more importantly, being persistent in prayer. So, firstly then, this man who receives a late visitor arriving at midnight. Now in the Gospel, you may remember the passage started where Jesus was asked to teach his disciples how to pray, and he taught them the prayer which we call the Lord's Prayer. And having told a story about praying, he then goes on to tell another story about persistence in prayer. Are you there, Bill? Are you there? Bill, Bill, wake up, wake up, Bill, wake up. It's Ned from next door. Bill, Bill, wake up, wake up.
Go away. I don't want to wake up. I'm in bed with my wife and children. Go away.
This is a real life situation. In the East, if somebody came, a friend or a visitor, no matter what hour of the day, you were obligated to give them something to eat. It's the way it was. And Ned next door, when he goes to the cupboard, he's like old Mother Hubbard and finds the cupboard was bare. So he goes next door and bangs on Bill. Now Bill's in bed. And again, it's a real life situation. The houses in those days usually had one room, sometimes two. And over at the side of one room, would be a low platform. And on that, Mum, Dad and the kids all slept, all there together. So if one person got up, they were all disturbed. And what's Bill in bed saying? Go away, I don't want to get up, I'm in bed with my wife. But is Ned put off? Not him. He keeps knocking. Come on, Bill, wake up. Give me 3 loaves of bread, I've got somebody come. And so it goes on. And everybody, of course, is now well and truly disturbed. So in the end, I guess Bill got up very begrudgingly to go and get him. And what does Jesus say? I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is a friend, yet because of the man's boldness, his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Because of his boldness and persistence, as much as he needs. Now don't make a mistake here. Don't make the mistake in thinking that when we pray, we've got to be like Ned next door, banging on the door and shouting and wearing God down until he gives us what we want. No, that's not what the parable is about. It's a parable of contrasts. Now, most parables are allegories, straightforward. The good shepherd, for example, who's gone looking for the sheep. The good shepherd is God. The lost sheep are us. The good shepherd finds the sheep and takes them home. Nice and straightforward, no problems. But here, it's all about contrasts and opposites. Jesus in the parable is saying, our Heavenly Father is not like Bill in bed. Just the opposite. For he goes on to say, you remember, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Simple as that. No, God hasn't got to be battered into submission when we pray to him. He is not like that at all. What Jesus is saying in this parable is that we are to be persistent. We are to keep on praying. If Bill hadn't got up, Ned would have gone away without his 3 loaves of bread. But Bill did get up and gave him, simply because he was persistent. Don't give up praying if your prayer isn't answered straight away. Did Bill leap out of bed straight away? No. Jesus is saying, your Father in heaven is not like that. He will get up. He will answer your prayers. And if he doesn't answer straight away, you keep going. No, your Heavenly Father does hear, and he will answer your prayers. And the same thought is central in the next parable. This widow and this unjust, venal judge. Dreadful. And again, it's a real-life situation. In those days in Israel, if you had a contention or something, you went to the local rabbi and he would decide, make a judgment. Sometimes, though, it got beyond that and you would have to go to a magistrate, a person appointed by the Roman government to settle cases. And these magistrates were well known as corrupt and takers of bribes. In fact, if you couldn't bribe the magistrate, you wouldn't get a decision on your case. It was simple as that. And so here's this widow, hasn't got any money, it's all been used up, but like Bert knocking on, like Ned rather, knocking on Bill's door at midnight, she is persistent. She is not going to be put off. And in the end, this judge who freely boasts that he cares not for man or God, isn't he a great fellow? Really? Horrible. He doesn't care for man or God. He gives in to her continual pestering before it wears him out. But what did he say? Even though this man doesn't fear God or men, yet because the widow keeps bothering him, he will see that she gets justice, so she won't eventually wear him out with her coming. Yes. And again, it's a parable of contrasts. It's shot through with differences. On the one hand, we have the judge. This judge, he's corrupt, loath to act. And when he does act, it's for the wrong reason, simply to get rid of the woman. He has power, and he uses it the wrong way. Our Heavenly Father, just the opposite. He's honest, incorruptible. He acts for the right reasons. He acts in our best interests. See, the parable shows the worst in man, contrasting it to the best in God. But it's the widow that I want you to take home this morning from here. For in the end, we will be like her. We will stand before the judge on that day, and we will have nothing to commend ourselves to him. All we will be able to do is throw ourselves on his mercy and rely on our faith in Jesus. When we think about prayer, the thing that keeps running through people's mind, I'm sure, is, does God answer our prayers? Yes, he does. God hears our prayers and answers them. Sometimes the answer seems to be a long time in coming. But you see, God can see more than we can see. He can see the big picture. And you might be praying for something here that you want, but God can see that you don't really need it here. You're going to need it over here. So the answer doesn't come here. It's slow in coming, but it will come. He sees the big picture. And then remember that last line in the parable of Bert and Fred. Yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give the neighbour as much as he needs. Much as he needs. And there is a difference, isn't there, between needs and wants. We might think we want this particular thing, but God can see that we don't need it. And so you don't get it at that point in time. Differences between needs and wants. And there's no reason why God should give you everything you want. You didn't give, or you don't give your children everything they want, but you do give them everything they need. And if you keep that thought before you, not instantaneous reply, not what we want, but not we need. If you keep that thought before you as you pray, I'm sure you will find your prayer life much better. And then there comes the time when you are fervently praying, usually for someone to be healed, restored, and the answer comes no. And that's hard. That's hard. We have faith in God. We have faith in prayer. But it didn't work. And it will happen to you. It will happen to you. If it only happens once, you're fortunate. Often it will happen frequently. Don't let it turn you off praying. You just have to accept that God knows best. And though we strongly disagree with that no answer, we must accept it. It's all we can do. Don't let a no answer discourage you, turn you off praying. Jesus is saying in these two parables, keep on. Be persistent. Always let God know your longings, your desires, what is in your heart. Pray and keep praying.